it's Wednesday. Had to look, John. I'm on muscle relaxants today, so I'm a little screwed up in the head. Ireland is in Vegas. Ireland, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
We got we've two interns in studio right now. We have Sophia. Sophia, what's your last name? Oh, hang on. We'll turn on your mic. There you go. What's your last name?
Aluraj.
And DeAndre?
Hawkins.
And Sophia, where do you go to school?
I am currently a senior at University of Southern California.
Nice. And DeAndre, where are you?
I'm a senior at Cal State San Bernardino.
Nice. All right.
That's what we like. Little Inland Empire action there.
So, interestingly, Sophia works sort of around USC football, right? What do you do?
Yeah, I currently work in recruitment operations and previously was in social media with all of athletics.
So what does recruitment operations mean? It means you coordinate recruits coming to the games and stuff?
Yeah, they come in for visits pretty much every Saturday. When we have a home game, we host them, make sure they have a good time, you know, get them to sign with us.
Yeah, yeah. I sat right next to the section of interns, or the section of recruits this last week, John. Last week. And it's so weird because they seem so young. Like, you look over at that group, it's like, so they seem so young, and you look out in the field and you're like, those guys are going to be playing and big by the time they get here. DeAndre, what's your story? Cal State, San Bernardino.
Cal State, San Bernardino, communications major with the media studies.
Yep.
My dream goal, ultimate goal, is to try to get into reporting, like sideline reporting or analyzing.
Ask John. John's former, longtime sideline reporter.
Heck yeah, DeAndre, hey, can you get to Vegas by 7:30?
Oh, we'll yeah, I'll get on there right away. I'll drive there if I have to. But yeah, that's pretty much like my dream, but it's, it's just taking it all in. It's been a blessing being here, and I'm ready to get working.
Cool. And Sophia? What's your what's going to be your specialty here? What's your,
you know?
Oh, she's going to be our TikTok person. Sophia's going to put us on TikTok. Yeah,
Sophia,
yeah,
don't
so
do
gonna,
it.
I'm gonna, you know, these guys are either going to look a fool or look great.
Well, we're gonna look a fool.
I can tell you which one it's going to be.
You know, depending on what you guys will do for me, we're going to put it all out there.
All right, excellent, excellent. Well, Sophia and DeAndre, welcome and thank you very much for coming in.
Excited to be here.
Yeah, guys.
And by the way, that last group of interns did really well. Did really well. And a couple of them are still, as you mentioned, John, Parker is still rolling around here, and so is Amada from the last group. So if you're an intern at 710 ESPN, you can wind up working here full time. That's the way it goes.
And shout out to Brady Cates, who apparently went back to Wisconsin and got the coach fired.
Yes.
So I don't know what Brady did or what what happened.
It was Brady's fault.
Brady goes to Wisconsin, and all of a sudden, they're looking for a new head coach.
So, Michael Thompson is an enormous fan of a particular TV show.
Many of them.
One of the big ones is Frasier.
Yep.
Which ran...
Might be his favorite.
Ran for 11 years. It featured David Hyde Pierce, Niles, Jane Leaves, Perry Gilpin, blah, blah, blah. So none of them are, and of course John Mahoney has passed on, and God bless him, great actor. It's going to be Frasier moving to a new city and setting up his life, and none of the other characters are coming along. What do you think?
I happen to know a little bit about this.
Okay, good.
Because Tom Russo, who plays in our fantasy football league, is going to be one of the executive producers of the Frasier reboot.
Oh,
he's
wow.
He's done several projects with Kelsey, and he told me, I was sworn to secrecy, but he told me 2 weeks ago this was coming. And I actually think they have a really good kind of premise for it. So have you heard what the premise is?
No, I know he moves to a new city. I don't know the premise.
So do you remember that his brother was Niles, but his son was Freddie?
Yes.
Who now would be about 30.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, you know, you picture what Frasier's like.
Yep.
It's going to be like Freddie has turned out to be like the opposite of Frasier, like a really like muscular, like pro wrestler type guy.
Okay, got it.
And so that's going to be the odd couple element, and it's going to be Frasier and Freddie, it's going to be a father-son story based on two a father and a son who are opposite.
Oh, that sounds cool. That sounds cool. Yeah, and it's for Paramount Plus, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody.
Yeah, and by the way, you mentioned that those other people aren't going to be in it. I would say they're not. There are no plans to put him in it yet.
Obviously, right. John, so they could visit.
Sure.
Yeah, that makes
sense. The door is not closed.
Got it. All right.
But they're casting it now. They're looking for somebody to play Freddy. They're so it's going to be exciting.
Okay, so Dodgers we mentioned on Tuesday night will play the winner of the Mets Padres series. Now tell me if this is weird. This is the way I'm going to go to the playoffs this year. I've never done this before. So I am going to use a press pass to be able to go on the field and have access to, you know, whatever down there, be part of it, be in it. Then, because the Dodgers auxiliary press box is all the way out in the top deck in left field, I've decided to buy a ticket for one ticket for each game. So I bought a ticket.
What's Juan going to do?
Juan is not. I hate to say this. Juan is not a Dodgers fan.
All right, so you go without him.
I'm going solo. Now, is that weird that I'm going solo to a game?
Not in the least. I go solo to the movies all the time, and I mention to people, hey, I'm going to the movies. Oh, really? Who are you going with? Nobody. I'm going by myself. I don't want people bothering me. Same premise at a game. I don't think it's weird at all. I think you should go by yourself. Would you rather go by yourself or have Morales sitting next to you asking you questions all night?
Well, I totally ignored Morales that night. He never stopped talking when we were at the game. I went to a game with Morales. Oh, my God. The guy can talk and talk and talk. And
I think Chris and I would have more fun at a game than you and Chris.
Correct.
Because I'm there to take it all in.
Locked in. Bergman for playoff games, totally locked in.
Oh, yeah. No, he wouldn't even speak to me during the play. And I'm talking about the game. I'm not even trying to just have a conversation with you. He wouldn't speak to me.
Yeah, no. Don't speak.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that ticket, though.
Mace, do people give you a hard time about that? They say it's weird.
This is the first time I've ever done it. So I've got a single seat in some section. I bought like decent seats.
By the way, you can get better seats that way.
Oh yeah, because if it's a single, they charge less.
If you just need one, you can sit in almost any section you want.
It's just it so sucks that my back went out today, which has never happened in my entire life. It's feeling better, by the way.
Well, you got till the 11th.
No,
you'll be fine. You'll be fine by the 11th.
USC Washington State on Saturday. Rams Cowboys on Sunday.
Dodgers, you should blow one of those games off, Wednesday. And I know you're not going to blow off the Ram game, so you don't need to go. USC's Greg, mark this down. USC's going to lose that game.
Oh,
agreed.
My ass.
Agreed.
That's absolutely
their defense
wrong.
Is terrible. Washington State has a good offense.
That Washington State's really good.
Washington State's right really now, good. They're 13.5-point underdogs.
Yep, 10 grand on Washington State right now.
Oh my God.
Ooh, what was the line? What was the line
on the Cougs?
13.5,
Mason said, but I'm going to look it up.
10K on the
Cougs. Never spoken before. 10,000 on the Cougs. Nobody says
on
that.
On the Cougs.
Nobody has ever made that wager.
Give me the Cougs.
So I've got like four games in 5 days this next week. So I love this time of year. I love going. I'll be fine. I'm excited for the playoffs, and I'm excited. Actually, this weekend's going to be fun. The way they've set up the baseball playoffs is it's just a 3-game series at the better team stadium. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, really?
Bam, best of three. Yeah.
Whoa, I'm really surprised at that. So. The teams that have the lesser record don't get a playoff home game?
No. The Mets will host the Padres for three. The Cardinals will host the Phillies for three. That's the way it's going to go.
I think that's a ripoff for the team. Like, I think that's a ripoff for the Padres. Them and their fans don't get a home playoff
game. But you're rewarding a team for being better. Like the home team.
Right,
the team
but I'm rewarding them by giving
the home games.
I'm rewarding them by giving them the deciding game. I would have gone one game in New York, back to San Diego for game two, and then if you need game three, back to New York.
But they're doing it 3 days in a row, so you'd be going New York, LA, New York 3 days in a row. That's a lot.
You'd need to put travel days in there. The World Series would be like a Thanksgiving.
Yeah, guys, I think this is the first time in Major League Baseball history, other than the one-gamer, remember we had the one-game playoff?
Yes, yes.
Where you've had a best of three or a best of five, where one team gets all the home games. Can you remember that ever happening?
No. This is part of their new playoff structure. I don't think it's ever been done. I don't think it's ever been done like this. No, I think this is their new
approach.
I'm trying
to think of what I would like better if I was a player. If I was a player, I might like the three games in New York. Because then I don't have to, fly all across the country.
You get to settle in.
Yeah, as a fan, I don't like it at all. I don't get a home game.
Well, the Mets got to be thrilled, weird. Right? They get three home games, and the Cardinals get three home games. You get rewarded for having a better record. See, I think there should be an advantage to having a better record. You're letting everybody in, right?
Well, they've... you do have an advantage, Mace. You're getting the deciding game.
Yeah, in this case, it's all three go to the team with the better record.
But you only have to win two, so yeah. Then you're getting one game in each spot with the deciding game. I don't know. It's too much travel,
and it would take us into mid-November for the World Series.
Too much
the idea
going
was
on.
To expand the playoffs, but not lengthen the postseason.
Before I say I hate it, let's see it. Let's see how it plays out. Maybe it'll be just fine.
It helps the Dodgers, though.
It helps the Dodgers because here's the thing: if the Mets win. So they're going to go DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, then turn around and play the Dodgers on Tuesday night, which means they would have to start Taijuan Walker versus Julio Urias. So that's a good matchup now for us because they've got to throw Walker and they don't have their rotation set up. We'll see DeGrom in game two.
Probably.
We'll see Scherzer in game three. We'll see Bassett in game four.
But the deciding game would be Taijuan Walker again.
And the deciding game would be Taijuan Walker, exactly. So I think it helps us the way it broke because we're going to get a favorable pitching matchup multiple times.
I was hoping that it would break, that there was no possibility they would have to play the Mets and the Braves back-to-back, and now that possibility exists.
I think,
but you're right. The pitching staff will be watered down in the first series, in the series in which they would play the Mets. And by the way, DeGrom and Scherzer looked very human against the Braves last weekend.
Very human. So, and Chris Bassett got lit up on Sunday night. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to have to go through both. And John, I am going to hold Dave Roberts to his word from earlier in this season, from before the season started. Do you know what word I'm talking about?
When he said they were going to win the World Series?
Yes, and now he's walking it back. We'll talk about that coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, John, as you pointed out, earlier this year, before the baseball season started, Dave Roberts went on to the Dan Patrick Show, and he said this: we are winning the World Series in 2022. We are winning the World Series this year. Put it on the record. Now, that is something that the Dodgers need to pay off. This has been a great season. Were you able to find what? No, not able to find it. Dave tried to separate fans into groups this week. It's on my page. Okay, excellent. So this is what Dave Roberts said, and I want you to give me your read on what it is. First of all, he talks about fans being very cynical.
Unfortunately, the world has gone very cynical, which is sad. Having a great season, enjoying the ride, are certain fans, not all, are certain fans jaded? Absolutely. And don't realize what it takes, what this team in particular has had to overcome to get to this point. Not a rite of passage to be in this position.
Okay. And here's one more. This is the subsets of fans and the way they view this team and this season.
There are fans, some subset, that feel that they don't get interested until the postseason, and the season is defined by that. That's their prerogative. There's another subset of fans that can appreciate what goes into winning, having the season we're having, and understanding that there's a lot of things that happen that play out in a postseason that are unpredictable. That's the ride of the ups and downs, the unpredictability of baseball that makes it so great. There's that subset that's in it with us, really appreciate that this is a great team, and they're prepared to handle any result.
So what happened to "we are winning the World Series this year, put it on the record"?
Yeah, you are right. He has walked it back. But what he's saying is what you've been saying for years, that the playoffs are a crapshoot.
Yes.
That any team can win in a, you know, baseball is a weird game. You play for 6 months. If a team gets hot for 3 weeks, this happened with the Washington Nationals a few years ago. They just got hot at the exact right time and they ran through everybody. And that could happen to the Dodgers. But I'm fascinated by this line of questioning, Mace. So,
yes.
For example, Stan Kasten, the Dodgers president,
right,
was the president of the Atlanta Braves, and I think he won 13 division titles.
That is correct.
And he won one World Series. He's been the president of the Dodgers under the Guggenheim ownership group, I think, for the whole time they were there. And the Dodgers have made 10 straight postseason appearances, including 3 appearances in the World Series, but they've only won one.
Yep.
So, if I were to say, Stan Kasten, does he belong in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, does Stan Kasten belong in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
What an interesting question that is.
Right, because if he had won, like, I think Bruce Bochy is going to the Hall of Fame because he won 3 World Series in 6 years. But isn't Stan Kasten's resume, if we were being objective, even more impressive than Bochy's?
Yeah, I mean, Stan Kasten, only 13 division titles, 9 division titles here. That's pretty impressive.
Right.
22 division titles.
Right. So in my opinion, Stan's had a better
World
career.
Series is what you say, yeah.
Yeah, and he'd been to 4. But I think Stan's resume is more impressive than Bruce's. But I also think that because we probably overvalue winning titles,
mm-hmm.
And this is to Dave Roberts' point, most people don't give kudos to the team that finishes second. They don't give kudos to the team that finishes anything other than first. And so now, Bergman, don't you agree with that Bruce Bochy is probably a lock to make the Hall of Fame, whereas Stan Kasten is a coin flip, and it should probably be the other way around?
No, Bruce Bochy should be a lock into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I don't think that's even a question. He took both the pot. I mean, he was great for the Padres, and he took the Giants to a bunch of World Series. So he's a lock.
Stan Kasten. It's hard for an executive to get in, isn't it?
Kasten's tough.
Not impossible.
I mean, he probably
in the Hall of Fame,
especially if they win this year. I think that really helps his case.
Okay, I'm glad you went there. So, Jorge, do you have that sound? Okay. Now, I want to hold Dave Roberts to his word. Hit it, Jorge.
The Dodgers will win the World Series if
we play a full season and there is a postseason.
Wait.
We are winning the World Series in 2022.
So we are winning the World Series in 2022. So to all of our friends over at the Dodgers.
I liked it when he did that.
Me too. If you do not win this year, you will take it to your graves.
Wait, you know, this is a reversal of your position.
I know, but John, it's been too long. It's been too long,
I knew you would come around to my side.
I mean, honestly, I don't care how many wins they get in the regular season. It's the best Dodgers team I've ever seen. And if they don't win at all, it is a full-on disaster. Full-on disaster.
I think that's the reality of it. But very rarely do diehard Dodger fans like you admit it. You would say, no, enjoy the journey. You're the one that wants them to celebrate when they win the division
title. I'm okay with the celebration. That's totally fine. I mean, that's just a baseball tradition. I mean, it's totally cool to celebrate. Pop a cork anytime you win.
Let me ask you guys about – this is somewhat related to what we're talking about. Freddie Freeman – apparently has hit a home run at Dodger Stadium. They're playing a day game today. And he is now just 1 point behind Jeff McNeil for the batting title.
Wow.
I think you get this. I mean, some people will say, it's an artificial title. I think it's really cool to win the batting title. Turner won it last year.
He also has 2 hits today. He needs 2 more to hit 200 hits this year.
Wow. What a year. He's been as good as advertised.
Yeah, I think both of those things are extremely cool. I don't think those are, you know, if we always say around here something or nothing, I think both those things are something. 200 hits and a batting title?
Yeah, McNeil's at 326. Freddie's at 325.
Now, okay, so do you know what's going on in the other league, right? So Aaron Judge, and this is kind of a weird one. Mm-hmm. There's this guy that plays for Kansas City. Greg, I think his last name is Arise. I may be mispronouncing it. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. A-R-R-A-E-Z.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So in order for Aaron Judge to win the Triple Crown today, Aaron Judge is playing today, even though he hit 62 last night. Aaron Judge would have had to gone 4-for-4, and Arise would have had to go 0-for-4. So unlikely, but they're both playing today. This guy Arise never walks.
Arise is at 316 and Aaron Judge is at 311.
Right. So Aaron Judge would have to go 4-for-4 and Arise would have to go 0-for-4. He never walks. Like during the season, he walked, I think, once every 16 at bats.
Yeah.
He's walked twice today.
Mm.
Is that smart because he wins the batting title or kind of chicken bleep?
Well,
but you're not up there taking your cuts.
It's a good. I mean, the famous story is the Ted Williams story, right? Ted Williams had the batting title locked up, could only lose it, went out and played on the final day of the season, and I think went 4-for-4 or something like that. Just killed it.
A famous story about Ken Griffey, not junior but senior, the one who played for the Reds with Joe Morgan and Johnny Bench and those guys. Ken Griffey was. I'm going to screw this up, but he was hitting something like 336 and had a pretty much a lock on the batting title. The only way he wouldn't get it is if Bill Matlock went 5-for-5 on the last day of the season. And he got word that, and so Griffey said, I'll sit it out. That way my average can't get any lower.
Right.
And then he got word while he was sitting in the dugout that Matlock was 4-for-4.
Oof.
And he told Sparky Anderson, I want to go back in. I got to, now he's caught me. So now I got to get another hit. And Matlock ended up winning the title because Griffey played it wrong. I just don't know if you can criticize this guy Arise because he is in the game.
Yeah, he's in the game.
He is playing.
Yep.
I just don't know if it's kind of chicken.
So Jeff McNeil, by the way, is not in the lineup right now for the game for the Mets.
Oh, interesting.
So it's the same exact kind of situation.
He's trying to sit on a lead.
Right. So they're in a rain delay right now. So McNeil could still technically be put into the game. But he's doing the exact thing you were talking about, John. He's going to sit out.
So
maybe when he gets word that Freddie is, you know, Freddie gets another hit and Freddie will probably pass him. And then I bet you he goes back into the lineup.
Probably.
I was up close to one of these when I was working in the minor leagues. Wade Boggs was at the Pawtucket Red Sox. And Dave Engel was a member of the Toledo Mud Hens. I think Dave is still coaching. So Dave had the lead going into the final day of the season. Wade was chasing him. Dave sat out that day on the last day of the season, and Wade didn't catch him. Now, is that a – and by the way, Dave's a great guy and all that stuff. But is that a dignified way to win the batting title? In other words, just sit me because I'm sitting on a lead.
I think I would play.
Yeah, me too.
Want
to win it outright. Want to actually win it, not just let it happen.
Well, no, what's the old thing that, and this is just a general good way to live your life, control what you can control, all right? And in this case, if I play, I can control it. If I go up there and I strike out 3 times, I lost. But I want to play. I want to control what I can control. And in that case, if I get 3 hits, you know, I probably win it.
It just reminds me of something my minister always says. Don't worry, you're not in control of anything, which
good
is
point.
Pretty much true. Not in control of a thing. I'm curious about this, John. We all watch Succession.
Yeah, great show.
Great show. And I want to ask this question and think about it. What Succession character are you most like?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hmm.
And Bergman, you too. And do you watch Succession?
Never seen a minute, no.
Yeah, your cousin Greg. All right, we'll talk about that.
I know who Mason is.
Oh, I know who I am. I wonder if it's the same person that... Yeah, we'll find out. All right, we'll do that coming up next. Then we got Bobcat Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so Ireland, you had a little minute to think about this. What character on Succession? Like, we do this with friends all the time. Like, somebody's a Rachel, somebody's all those. Who are you on Succession? Which character do you identify with? What role do you play here?
The one I'd want to be is Brian Cox. He's the one that, you know, I think has the best.
Do you think you're a Logan Roy?
I don't. I would probably. I consider myself more grounded than some of the wild cards. I think I would probably be Jerry. I'd probably be like.
Oh,
the
no, Jerry's boring. Be one of the main people. Don't be Jerry.
No, you are. You know who you are.
Who?
You're Kieran Culkin.
Absolutely. I'm Roman. I think Roman's my favorite character on the show because he's always funny.
Right.
Now, Bergman thinks this is an awful bit, by the way. Bergman, you're a cousin. Cousin Greg.
I am not Cousin Greg.
You're Cousin Greg. No,
that's, just because my name is Greg doesn't mean that I'm Cousin Greg.
I think
that I would probably be more like Tom.
Oh, the one who turned. Oh, that's right. You went on the afternoon show, just like Tom.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
just like
you
Tom, but it's also like
show and bagged on us.
I'm not in the top level with everybody else. I'm kind of behind, and I'm trying to work my way up, but I'm not actually ever going to get there.
Mason,
maybe at this last part.
What does it say about me that, and I'm not making this up,
yep,
I find myself incredibly attractive to Shiv on that show.
I mean, Shiv is...
And she's not a very good person.
She's awful. She's a terrible, terrible
human.
Remember
she doesn't love him while they were having
Greg,
sex?
Can we say that about 90% of the characters? Like, if we're looking for redeeming characters, is there one on
Succession?
No,
there is not one single redeeming character.
That's kind of what makes it good. Jerry, who tries to keep the trains
she's
on
terrible
the track,
also.
Is really in it for herself.
So like maybe there's a line from that show that Shiv had, I think, in the last episode. And she said, they were talking about what they said while they were getting busy. And she said, I thought it was what happens in Sex Vegas stays in Sex Vegas. In other words, anything you do and say while you're getting busy, that's Sex Vegas, and you don't talk about it again.
Well, it depends who you're having sex with.
True.
Like if you're with your partner...
Correct.
In her case, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You keep that under the hat. But, you know, barometer's rising.
It's so funny.
Depends on where you want to go.
I've not heard the under the hat expression in a long time, but I brought it up in our meeting this morning. You've always, this is a phrase that you use. Describe the phrase.
There are things that are shared between mostly in with people you like, people you trust, that you just don't tell other people. You keep it under the hat. That would, I think, if you...
Off-limits topics.
Anything that happens in a bedroom between two
under
consensual
the hat.
adults...
Under the hat, for sure.
Right. that, well, especially me and you now, because we're with longtime partners.
Yes.
But if, you know, if you go out and have a wild weekend and you want to, you know, tell a few stories, then fine, why not? You know, yeah. But not with your partner.
What happens in Sex Vegas stays in Sex Vegas. All right. So here is something I came across. Bill Connolly, who's a college football writer for ESPN, has listed the teams that he thinks are most likely to stay undefeated. So USC and UCLA are both on the list, believe it or not. Where do you think UCLA and USC rank in terms of likelihood of going undefeated?
Boy, they both really only have, in UCLA's case, they got to get past Utah and they got to get past USC.
Mm-hmm.
USC has to get past Washington State, Utah, and UCLA, and Notre Dame.
Yeah, there's a total of 19 undefeated teams. Where do you think they rank?
I would say right in the middle, like 9th or 10th.
UCLA, number 12. Here's what he says. I'm learning to trust the Bruins. The offensive backfield, incredible, with DTR completing 74% of his passes with an 11-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio, and running back Zach Charbonnet averaging 6.4 yards per carry. The Bruins offense ranks 6th overall in success rate, and the defense tackles well and prevents big plays. He said, it's going to be awfully difficult, however, to remain unbeaten through the next two games. Utah this Saturday, then at Oregon on October the 22nd. So he thinks the next couple of weeks could be rough for UCLA, but he sounds very impressed with what they're doing so far.
I think the next couple of weeks could be tough for USC. They've got to play Washington State and then go to Utah.
Correct. So where do you think USC is ranked in terms of likelihood to go undefeated?
If UCLA's 12th, I think USC's 7 or 8.
10th. Here's what he says. They've still benefited massively from good fortune in the turnovers department. I have said this over and over again. They're like 15 takeaways versus one turnover. That will ultimately...
And the one was an interception from Caleb Williams, which he hasn't thrown in over, I think it was over 250 passes.
Yeah, it was in the end zone last week. He says they are 120th in yards allowed per drive. This doesn't speak to long-term success, but there's no question that Caleb Williams and the offense are proven and steady. We're just 2 weeks away from one of the most exciting and anticipated games of the season, one of the biggest Pac-12 games in years, USC at Utah on October 15th. Utah has been in fifth gear after opening the season with an upset loss at Florida. Trojans escape Salt Lake City unbeaten. I'll officially start buying the hype. What are the odds do you think that we get two straight? Well, what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks? UCLA has got Utah, then Oregon. USC has got Washington State, and you've already wagered on the Cougs.
Yeah, I think Washington State keeps it close. I like my 13.5. USC could win it, but I think it's a real game. I tend to lean on home teams when these games get tight.
Okay.
So I'll take UCLA to beat Utah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be close.
Really close.
And Utah could win it. Both USC and UCLA are at home, so I'll take the Trojans to win in a game that's closer than the 13-point spread. I'll take them both to win this week.
And both to lose next week.
Yeah, probably.
UCLA's on a bye next week. It's actually going to be two weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks. Okay.
2 weeks after.
Thank you.
Bergman, what? I think if DTR plays like that, UCLA can beat anybody. I mean anybody.
If they play like they did
a big if.
Against Washington, no, they can't. As long as they just don't take their foot off the gas at the end of the game like they did against Washington. That was kind of ridiculous.
That kid, Jake Bobo, looks like NFL good. Like,
he is.
There's so many NFL players in these games. Caleb Williams is going to the NFL. Jordan Addison's going to the NFL.
Mario Williams going to the NFL.
Zach Charbonnet is going to the NFL. I didn't think I was going to say this, but DTR might play himself into the NFL. And be, you look at Jalen Hurts. You look at Jalen Hurts, and DTR is the same type of player, wins games with both passing and running. He's not as strong as Hurts, but, boy, his total offense is very similar to Jalen's. It's probably a stretch. I always thought Brett Hundley would make it in the NFL, and he's kind of a career backup. But I wouldn't have, Greg, a month ago, I would have said DTR is not going to play in the NFL. Now I think he's got a shot.
He does have a shot. He's going to be a late round pick if he's even drafted. Yeah. But he's really got a, I don't know if he's just got, he has enough. He's really got those.
He's super inconsistent.
Yes.
So he just needs, if he were to have like,
last week is one too much.
Yeah. Wait, last week was one good week. If he were to have three good weeks in a row, if he were to beat Washington, Utah and Oregon all in a row, that's a huge accomplishment.
That could push him forward. What are you laughing at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like you talking specifics of quarterbacking.
Small hands.
What, like I don't
throws
know?
Throws off
what
his back leg too much. You're like,
you're acting like
Clarkson,
I don't know sports. Like I haven't been working in this or watching sports my entire life that I don't know anything
Steve
about
Clarkson
sports.
Clarkson Dreammaker over there.
Listen to you. Like what, you know that much more?
No, but
exactly.
I'm not pretending I know.
You
more.
Asked me a question, I answered the question.
Yes.
Right. By the way, I wanna do something else real fast.
All
so
good.
I'm gonna transition for you. Ooh, on stereo.
Oh, nice.
Stereo.
So Donnie Cash 818 sent me something, sent me a DM. I just want to know what you guys think of it.
Okay.
Here you go. Listen.
Mason and Island and Mason. LA is the city, 710 is the station. Don't need no invitation, you can catch him on the daily, yo. LAOGs is the biggest show on radio. It's the biggest show on radio.
Who sent you this?
One of our listeners created this. I like it.
That thing is fantastic. I love that. Who sent that, Greg?
Donnie Cash 818.
Donnie Cash.
That is great work, man. We will play that till Mace, remember the days of, we'll wear out the grooves on that one.
Yes, we will definitely use that. Funny, I got a, in the Mason Ireland Mafia, I just got this tweet. It is, the handle, by the way, is Corporate Greg's Peloton.
I love that handle. It's so fantastic.
That is a great
so
handle.
Funny. So, this guy says, no, Greg is Connor. Will never be taken seriously and never be the boss. True. You're perfect for Connor.
Wait, what was Connor's big rant? I'm the number two son. I'm number two. Me. I'm number two.
Thinks and he's running for president.
Yeah. I am running for president.
No, good. Good.
Well, the amazing thing about
I'm gonna get all the votes.
No, the amazing thing about
vote.
Connor was when he asked Thanks, that boy. Girl to marry him,
yep.
She goes, sure, what the hell?
Yeah, she was. That was the softest. Yeah, dude, didn't she wake him? She said, like, I'll tell you tomorrow.
Yeah, well, she was unexcited. And then he like, came back to her the next day. He goes, so did you give any more thought to my marriage proposal? Sure, what the hell?
I guess. You got
I'm
the
sure
yes.
Marriage will last forever.
Very soft yes. All right, coming up next for you is Bobcat Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. So I was talking to Emily about Joey Votto during Crosstalk when you guys were talking, and I started looking at all of his stats. They're pretty, really good.
Really good.
So real quick, top of your head, Hall of Fame, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he's that good, right?
That's my instinct is yes.
He has under 400 home runs, about 1,100 RBIs.
What's his career batting average?
It's just under 300.
Just under 300.
Over 400 on base.
Has an MVP, right?
Yes.
Has over 300 home runs, right?
Over 300 home runs, yes.
Yeah, I think he's in.
Yeah, I think he's in too. Yeah, he's got an MVP.
How many All-Star appearances, Greg, you know?
Like 12?
Six.
Yeah, I think
six?
He's in.
Oh, is it six? I thought it was more than that.
Six-time All-Star, one-time MVP. Career hits. How many hits does he have in his career?
Does he have 2,000 hits?
Over 2,000 hits.
Yeah. Yeah, you can make a case for him. And but he's a great ambassador for the game. He's like, I don't know if
he's
you guys
having
ever
a lot
him.
Of fun this year.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard him talk or be interviewed or you
Did
know.
Did you
he's
see
just,
he tried to give away a car or a truck at a Reds game?
I think we have that. I can find it real fast.
Do you have that? So what happened, John? Do you know the story?
I don't think so.
Okay, so what happened was
I got it.
There's a really obscure sign out in the outfield where if you hit it, somebody wins a truck, a brand new truck. So Votto was irritated by the fact that the whole time he's played for the Reds, nobody hit that sign. Here was his, the way he handled it.
I feel like nobody wins the Toyota Tundra. Let's do something this inning. So if anybody homers on the right side of center field, I'll buy the truck for the fan.
Wow.
Yeah, why not?
Any home run
to just right of center.
Yeah, from 404 to the 325. Someone's got to win a truck. I'm sick of this. No one's won a truck ever since I've been in this stadium, or excuse me, in this uniform.
So apparently somebody hit one to the wall in right field but did not leave the yard, so no truck. But he was offering a truck out there. By the way, I'm looking at his numbers. He's not a Hall of Famer.
You don't think?
Nah.
2,000 hits.
2,093 hits, 342 home runs, 297 batting average. It's not the Hall of the Good. It's the Hall of the Great, and I don't think he is a Hall of Famer.
But you always go by if it's all right off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head, I said yes.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
So that's usually what it goes by. Even if you, before looking at the stats, you have thought right away, yes, he's in.
His, boy, career OPS of 926.
That's so high.
Yeah, that is really high.
Who gets his on base is over 400 for his career.
Yeah, he's right on the fringe of it. On the fringe of it. He could get in. But I'm leaning after looking at his numbers, probably not.
The 3,000 hits, he's not going to get to 3,000
no,
hits.
No.
He's not going to hit the 500 home runs. So
not even
those big ones.
All right.
Yeah.
So Mace, tell me if this helps swing your opinion.
Okay.
He was first in WAR, first in 2017, and of active players, he's fifth. That's WAR is a pretty important
WAR
stat.
WAR is a big stat. Yeah, I mean, don't you think he's like right on the cusp?
Yep. Yeah, I think he won't get in first ballot, but he could get in.
Could
after
get
that.
In some. Yeah, he could wiggle his way in, but he's not a first ballot for
so,
sure.
So, like, if Craig right, Biggio okay, can get in.
Okay. Well, how about this on base percentage in the National League? 2010 first, 2011 first, 2012 first, 2013 first.
Wow.
He was first from 2010 through 2018.
That's impressive. That's impressive. I mean,
if you want to get him in, you can make the
You
argument.
Can definitely make the case.
He's played 162 games twice in his career.
Nice.
Nobody does that anymore.
Yep.
Bobcat.
All right, so Disneyland is very expensive. Apparently, people have started to put their kids that are old enough for a ticket into strollers so that they can just wheel them through.
Right, I saw the video. It's like a small child that they stuffed into a stroller. Like a four-year-old in a stroller.
Without paying for the ticket, do you have any problem with letting these people, with them doing this?
No, okay.
We work for Disney.
Right, correct. No. So you put a four-year-old or a five-year-old, a kid who can walk, in a stroller.
Yep.
You roll him in through the gate, and then once you get inside, that you just dump the stroller
and the kid stroller
runs around.
And the kid goes wherever he wants.
You know what? Our company has been very fortunate in life.
Yes.
It makes a lot of money. This seems like one we can let go. Why not put the big kids in the strollers? Let's get it on.
Jorge, you have a four-year-old, right?
Yeah, but again, we get fortunate.
Get and yeah,
so
fortunate.
I don't have to do that.
Fortune of the world.
Yeah.
I've never used my Disneyland passes. And Juan keeps saying we should use them because...
You don't have any.
Do
you
I
don't
not
get
have
them.
Any?
Then you get the bundle. No, you get the bundle.
You opt out of it?
Oh, I either get the bundle.
You either get,
or
if you work at Disney, you get a choice. You can get what you call, I think they're called silver passes, where on non-peak days, you can go to any of the Disneyland parks for free. When Jack was younger, Jack, my son, I opted for those. And about 3-4 years ago, when he stopped going to Disneyland, the other option they give us, if you work for Disney, is you can get the Disney bundle for free, which is ESPN. Hulu and Disney Plus.
I opted
all for
the bundle. Yeah,
me too. So that's Bergman and Jorge have kids. So you guys both opted for the park pass.
Oh yeah, and I love Disneyland. I want it.
See, I do not love Disneyland.
I love that free bundle.
Jorge,
I'll tell you
and
what,
the bundle's great.
I use that bundle,
but
all
I don't
the
have
time.
Kids, and there's a reason for that. And Disneyland is not my kind of spot. It's a bunch of screaming kids and, you know, fireworks over Sleeping Beauty's castle and all that. I think it's all fantastic for people with kids, but it's not for me. Like, for example, Lindsay goes there as a grown-up. Lindsay Fulton goes there as a grown-up all the time.
Laura goes there,
exactly.
I have a friend, Mace, you've met her, big USC fan, one of my neighbors, Brianne Edwards, shout out. And Brianne loves Disney. She goes, I'm probably... not exaggerating, she goes to Orlando once a year and runs in marathons down there and, you know, hangs out with all of her friends.
Right.
But she goes to, and I think this is what Lindsay does, Brienne goes to Disneyland like almost as a nightclub. She goes to that Club 33. She meets her friends there. She knows a lot of other people that are super into Disney.
What's Club 33? It's a secret club.
Yeah. It's private. You've got to be invited. And if you go to Disneyland enough, they'll invite you.
Jorge, do you ever go to Club 33?
No way, man. No.
Not big enough. You're no Lindsay Fulton. Yeah, thanks, Lindsay's Lisa. Hanging out at Club 33.
Bobcat.
All right, what you got?
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot I had one. Yeah. I'm over here talking about strollers and whatnot. So Giannis Antetokounmpo was asked if he can take skills from any NBA legends, who would it be? And this is what he said.
Okay, yeah, let me name a few people. So let me take from MJ his movement.
There you go.
Let me take from Kobe his footwork, the post. Let me take from Reggie Miller his shooting from three. Let me take from Shaq his dominance. What else? Let me take from Magic. Yeah. He got that.
The last one was Magic, no look pass. Magic, no look pass.
So it was MJ's mid-range, yeah. Reggie Miller's shooting, Shaq's
dominance,
Kobe's Magic's footwork. No look pass, Kobe's footwork.
And Reggie Miller's shooting. So if you can take two skills from any ESPN LA host, whose would you take?
Oh, interesting.
Ooh, that's good.
That's such amazing. A weird question.
Yeah, no, that's good. I would take, let me think. That's a good question. I could take, and I get two of them?
Yeah, just to keep it short. Yeah, two.
Two.
Okay. I would take Travis Rogers' golf game. I'm very jealous of his golf game.
Good call.
Ooh. Yeah, Travis is probably a 4 or 5 handicap golfer, and he doesn't work. He's not like me. He's not like pounding 100 balls a day. He just picks up his clubs and goes. He's just a really steady, straight golfer. So I would take that from him. And, I would take Scott Kaplan's attitude.
Yeah.
I think Cap has the right idea. He just, you know what? He's going to have fun and he doesn't care what anybody else thinks, and that's it. So those are the two I would take.
All right, Mace.
Okay, I will take I'll take Cappy's lingo. Like he uses there's a promo plan right now. Where he's throwing around all his lingo, you know, waxed and vaxed and all that kind of stuff that he says. All that lingo I would take. And then I will take Morales's, does he count?
Yeah.
His unembarrassableness. Like no matter what he does, you cannot embarrass Chris Morales. So I would take those two things. Bergman, what about you?
So I would take Sedano's confidence.
Oh, yeah.
He is extremely confident.
Supremely confident.
And then I don't want to take one from John, but I would take Cappy's sense of humor. It's just so good.
You wouldn't want my sense of humor.
No, I don't. Not in the slightest. I want nothing from you.
Wow. That's rough.
Bob.
What about you? Oh, wait, Jorge, what about you?
Oh, yeah, Jorge.
I will take Sedano's, you know, he's smart. So I'll take Sedano's smarts, and I'll take Michael's personality.
Really?
Michael's funny. Yeah, Michael's
Michael
funny.
Michael is funny. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Michael's a good call.
Yeah.
Good question.
Bobcat.
That was a good question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm totally going to screw this name up. I've been screwing it up all day. Victor Wibinyama. John?
Wembanyama.
Well said.
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama. I can't do it.
Well said.
Just tell us what this Wembanyama guy did.
Good job.
An 18-year-old Frenchman that is currently playing for the G League Ignite. He is supposed to be the number one overall pick next year in the NBA draft. So I wanted to know from Ireland what we should know about this guy and if you think he will be the number one overall pick.
All right, here's what we're dealing
with. Can you
say
his name?
I could probably say it if it was spelled out. Try it again, Greg, because you were so good the first time.
Wibinyama.
That's pretty close.
Okay.
That's what I've heard, Wibinyama. But it's longer than that. We're leaving syllables out. He's 7'4", and he shoots and makes threes.
Wow.
So he's Kevin Durant, but he's 4 inches taller.
Wow.
And last night he was playing against future NBA players, and he put up monster numbers. He had like 37, 15, and... 8.
And he's not just a big, tall loaf.
No. He's skinny. He's probably... his build is a lot like... remember Ralph Sampson?
Oh, yeah.
He looks like him. Or Chet Holmgren. Kind of has that build.
Yes.
But this guy, he is an absolute lock to be the number one overall pick. And we may never have seen Porzingis is probably the closest thing to him. Maybe Porzingis or Holmgren, a guy with that size and that skill set. And this guy's like 19 years old.
Mm.
So, yeah, they say there were 200 scouts at that game last night.
Wow.
200.
Okay, so here's my analysis. What he said.
It's perfect.
Come on. I don't know. I've never seen the guy play. I don't know Wembanyama. I don't know. I've never seen him. John has been scouting him. I don't know him.
That's why I said, John, I'd like to know what you
Correct.
Think of him.
And that's why I said what he said.
I didn't say, hey, Mace, what do you think of Wembanyama?
Oh, thank you.
I think I got that right.
Is
that
Are you
right?
done?
Oh, yeah. I am done. That's the end
okay.
of it.
Bobcat.
So there's been a lot of conversation. Oh, by the way, 3:30 today, a chance to join me, Jorge, and Corporate Greg for a special exclusive private dinner at Islands. And we're going to do that next week. Your chance to win and join us is coming up today. No better place to get a great burger, fries, ice cold beer on top. Islands, for locations and directions, visit islandsrestaurants.com, and we will give that spot away at 3:30. So I thought Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw were asked about the MVP race in the American League, and they had a really interesting response. I'll tell you what it is coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.